Chanel, who should be eliminated tonight?
I'm so glad you asked me this question. I nominate myself. Because I don't want to be here anymore.
Go on and wish that Brad Pitt would come along. But I prefer Madonna in a lacy thong. And I'm a lesbian, I don't like nothing.
Hello, you are listening to the Lesbian Mafia, and this is, that was wrong, everything was wrong. I did it backwards, it's just all wrong. It's all wrong. I will start this again. Hello, you are listening to the... You're listening... Oh my god, this is awful. Hello, you are listening to show number 51 of the Lesbian Mafia, and I'm your host, Sandy. Hello, I just did the most disgusting thing in the world, and that is McDonald's after midnight. McDonald's after midnight in my neighborhood is always disgusting. I don't even want to tell you what I ate because I'm embarrassed. That's how disgusting I just was. But everything was stale, like it was sitting out all day long. And yeah, that's okay. Spring is here and I'm eating McDonald's. Anyway, that's not important, is it? Not important. They don't have anything either. Like, they have nothing on the menu available. And then, like, I couldn't even read the menu because the lights were out on the menu. And I feel stuffed, like a disgusting, just disgusting. McDonald's after midnight, I don't suggest it. Like, why don't they tell you, look, this shit is stale, you know, come back at another time. Like, if that was me and I was working at a McDonald's drive-thru and somebody ordered something and I looked at it and I knew that shit was stale, I would be like, look, it's not fresh, you know, come back. Never, because it's never fresh, but it's all disgusting food. From the minute it's created, from God knows where. I think McDonald's is, it's cow feces. That's what you're eating. I'm being repulsively disgusting right now, which just does not match the glamour of this program today, which is, I'm so excited. I'm having Chanel from RuPaul's Drag Race on this program today. So I need to, you know, change the tone right now. And we need to start talking about glamorous things like rhinestones. These reality shows, you know, they're, they, you know, you get really emotionally invested in these characters. And so they eliminated Akasha, Jade, Angina, you know, which was horrible, horrible. And then now the most recent person who, well, she eliminated herself, well, him, his real name is Brian, is Chanel, which is ridiculous because she lost to Rebecca, you know, who is the villain of the program right now because Rebecca is... high school all over again. She's, you know, the popular girl and you don't know why. I don't want to say very little substance because, you know, she seems fine or whatever, but it is very curious as to why Rebecca is outlasting all of these other, you know, very vibrant personalities and people like Chanel who are very, you know, polished acts and that kind of thing. So it's really curious. It is. And I'm not saying that Rebecca isn't extremely attractive, both as male and female. But, you know, I just want to say here that I love RuPaul. I do. But I am calling shenanigans on RuPaul's Drag Race. I can't deal with all of my favorite people getting cut, which is pretty much all of them. It's terrible that I'm hooked on a TV show. It's just dreadful. And I'm completely invested in the show. And I don't understand what is happening with this Rebecca person. I don't get it. Why everybody goes but her. But I'll tell you what, the producers of the show definitely knew that they were going to get strong audience reaction over eliminating Angina because they just had her back on episode 7 just to kind of show face and you know, say something funny or whatever. I think, oh, RuPaul asked her, she said, are you here? Are you here to get revenge on me? And she said, no, I left my blade in the car. You know, everything is obviously very planned out. As most of us do know, reality shows are unreality shows. Personally, I think they had the person they wanted picked out from the beginning. That's just me. I don't know if that's true or not, but I just want to say that crazy things are happening on this show. It's not good for me emotionally. It's not good for me emotionally because I don't know what's going on in this show with that Rebecca person. Rebecca! All I know is that there's some bullshit going on this show. That's some bullshit. But I am happy to be talking to Brian, Chanel, and over the past few weeks watching the show, it seemed to me that she was being edited in a very unflattering light. And I guess it's, you know, seemed kind of contrived and deliberate so that you don't feel bad if she gets cut, you know. And, you know, I'm sure there's varying reasons why and all of that stuff. But, you know, it definitely did touch on something. You know, I felt bad. I really didn't like seeing that because, you know, she was really, her outfits were astounding. That snake outfit, the business attire. I mean, just really, she's an artist. And people just, you know, kind of blow off drag queens like, oh, they're just, you know, silly people. That they're just ridiculous people. And they don't have any talent because they lip sync. But there are some drag queens out there that are so artistic and really bring that. I mean, I have seen some acts here in New York. And, you know, some of them have their own material. They sing, you know, they have their own music. You know, they don't all lip sync. But even when they do, some of them are so, you know, their presence is so voluminous that you cannot deny that. That is not something that everybody could do. So let's talk to Brian Chanel.
Hello.
Hello, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Just trying to pack and get everything together for flying out to Minneapolis tonight.
Oh, really? Are you doing a show?
Yeah, I've got a show I'm doing tomorrow night with Frank Marino out there at a casino.
Okay, so you're in Vegas.
Yes.
And you're a very well-known performer in Vegas, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I like to look at it that way. I mean, as far as within the gay community, yeah. I mean, I've had shows for 6.5 years out here, and I've headlined, and I had my own circus show at a casino, and, I mean, I did La Cage at the Riviera, and so, yeah, I mean, I've done a lot out here, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So, I'm sure you've been following the rest of Drag Race as it's been playing out, right?
Of course, yeah. Well, we filmed it 5 months ago, so we all knew what happened 5 months ago with the show.
So you know who the winner is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But of course you can't talk about that.
Of course I can't.
Of course. But so what do you think of how things have turned out?
You know, I think it was a good experience. I mean, I think if anything, it was the ability to be able to, you know, kind of popularize and bring back the world of female impersonation again. I mean, it's been years, I think, since drag has kind of even really been talked about, and it kind of took the back burner. So I think, you know, having the very first ever reality drag TV show kind of made it something that, you know, people could talk about in their living rooms again. And I just feel very blessed that I was, you know, had the opportunity to be on it. In fact, I was actually the very first person to be selected by the producers to go on the show. So that was really kind of an honor. And so, yeah, I mean, it was definitely an experience. I mean, it had its high points and its low points, but overall, it really put my name out there again. And after having been in the industry for 15 years, it's nice to kind of get some more publicity out of it and feel like I kind of, you know, made a bit of a change out there.
Yeah, it's definitely become a much more relevant topic right now, which is great.
Yeah.
Now, let me just ask you this. What is, a lot of people don't know this, what is the difference between a drag queen? Is that a proper term? Is that a proper term to use? Or is that offensive?
It's a personal thing. I mean, I like to look at myself as more or less just being an entertainer, more of a female impersonator. A lot of people do refer to themselves as being a drag queen. I mean, what we do is drag, but female illusion, female impersonation is kind of the way I like to look at it more. I think that the drag has taken on kind of a campy undertone to a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
And I think that being able to show that it takes a lot more than just putting on heels and a dress to go out there and parade around. And so, you know, I think that to me there's a difference between the terms, yeah.
What's the difference between someone who does drag as opposed to someone who calls themselves transsexual or
well,
transgender?
With having, you know, technically a transsexual has had a full sex change operation. However, in this day and age, queens out there who just have had silicone or had breast implants or whatever consider themselves to be transsexual, and they are, but technically speaking, you know, having had a full operation is actually what a transsexual really is. But as long as you, you know, you have breasts or you've had some body work done or you're on hormones or whatever, that actually becomes more of the term for what transsexual is. Whereas with drag or female impersonation, it's a full boy who just then impersonates a woman.
What do you think would drive someone to go through the change rather than just doing what you're doing?
Well, I think that there's so many different variables there. I mean, I think that a lot of times, a lot of queens do tend to get caught up in the moment of doing shows when they're young and they're partying, they're having a good time, they're performing 4, 5, 6 nights a week, and they begin to kind of live that character illusion. And so they say, oh, well, you know, how much easier would it be if I had breasts or if I went on hormones? Because it would make the illusion so much more real to the audience. For me, I've never in my life wanted to be a woman. I mean, there's no amount of money you pay me to want to be a woman. In fact, for me, the art form is in being able to transition from a full male persona into becoming a female persona. So, you know, I'm a character illusionist, though, first and foremost. I mean, I do a lot of character illusion lookalikes, so that's kind of my stick on it. And to me, I just look at it as artwork. So, you know, everybody kind of takes it differently, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's one thing that definitely distinguished you, I think, from maybe the other cast members is, I don't know, you seem to bring, I don't know, it just seemed more like art, right? I mean, and they were all great, of course. I mean, I love all of them.
Yeah.
But there's something about your spin on it that just seemed a little bit more like artistry.
I like to look at myself as being kind of like a blank canvas, and it's all about filling in the lines and filling in the colors. I mean, everybody in life is in drag every day. Drag is nothing more than putting the color on our bodies and the makeup on our faces. So it's just about taking it to another level and becoming more eccentric and becoming kind of a larger-than-life personality. And so for me, the way I like to look at it is that, you know, utilizing those things that work best for you and intensifying them, like my eyes, you know, really making my eyes stand out, or, you know, if I like to create more of a nude illusion to the body, I want to accentuate those parts of the body that I like more. And I like to be very much kind of like an art sculpture, you know, and a lot of the types of things that I like to wear and kind of, you know, statuesque looking. So that's kind of my stick on it.
Yes, yes. I think even women would classify in the same category with you, because we do drag every day, so.
Yeah, absolutely. The drag is nothing more than putting the color into life in what we wear in our makeup. I mean, we're all in drag every day. You know, it's all fake. It's all an illusion, because you take it off, you're stripped of everything, and then you're back down to the bare essentials again.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this, and this may not be appropriate, but I want to know, is RuPaul having sex with Rebecca? Because why is it that everybody gets cut except for her?
You know, I don't believe that is in any way, shape, or form going on. I mean, there was never any indication of anything like that with me. I don't know. I just think that RuPaul and the judges felt that Rebecca was very beautiful, and apparently they really liked what she did. So,
yeah, that's very interesting. She's beautiful, but it's just odd. Like, why would Angina go before Rebecca? I don't know. Rebecca just seems a little awkward to me.
It's a reality show, you know. TV is meant to create drama and meant to be able to make people ask questions like, you're asking me why is she still there? Well, she's there because you're asking me why she's still there, and because to me, the show is not really about what makes America's Next Top Drag Superstar. You know, there's a million different things that we could have done to have been able to have really showcased that, but it is what it is. So, I mean, we didn't really ever get a chance to actually perform, per se. You know, I mean, most of us work in nightclubs and do lip sync our life away, and very little of that was even done. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Friends of mine do another radio show, and they just interviewed Tammy Brown?
Tammy Brown, uh-huh.
Yeah, and they were asking her, you know, who do you think is going to go next and all this other stuff, and she said, you know, I have to say that I really feel for Chanel, you know, that she was very sympathetic, I don't want to say sympathetic, but maybe empathetic, you know,
Hey, I like Tammy a lot. I've known Tammy for a long time, and Tammy, unfortunately, got a bad rap on the show and was just in, kind of out of her element and the things that were asked of her, and it was a shame, because Tammy is very successful and has done a lot of different things, and I think the fact of the matter is that we all were very different talents, which is obviously what brought us all there, or was what was able to showcase to the producers to be able to create enough variety on the show. So it's just hard because, due to the fact that we are all so different, what makes a drag superstar? Well, I don't know what makes a drag superstar. They obviously had in their mind what they wanted to create was an ex-drag superstar. So, you know, but as far as Tammy's concerned, I mean, I adore Tammy, and Tammy's just as sweet as pie, and you know, we got along great from day one, and I mean, Nina and Phoebe on Gina, Jenny, we all just got along so, so great. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, she's very unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with, obviously it's a very competitive field, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Drag is a very cutthroat industry in general. There's a lot of cattiness and there's a lot of bitchiness and everybody wants to outdo the next person and things like that. But I think that you get to a point in time in your life and your career. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years now and I've worked the best of the best. I've traveled. I've been in professional shows. I've got dressed in bathrooms before. And you get to the point where you realize that once you become comfortable enough in your own skin and your own talents and what you are able to do and to be able to showcase, that everything else kind of just doesn't really matter anymore, you know? And you just go into situations knowing or expecting the cattiness and levels of jealousy and things like that to be there. But you outshine that and you are able to just kind of deal with it and get through it.
So does it bother you a lot less when people are being, you know, bitchy towards you?
You know what? When people stop talking is when you need to worry. And that's how I look at it. People are talking about you, even if it's in a negative sense, the bottom line is they're talking about you. The difficulty for me was that going on a national TV show and being negatively talked about and being rarely positively talked about was hard on the ego, because I've been able to make a living for 15 years being fantastic at what I do and being able to entertain for audiences all over the world. And then I, you know, in wearing the costumes that I brought on the show and then going on the show to find out that I was being told that it just essentially wasn't quite good enough. So in that aspect, yeah, it was very trying on my nerves. And that's why I chose to leave, because I realized that I didn't want to be in a situation anymore where I was being so negatively critiqued. But at the same point in time, you have to realize that, you know, not everybody in life is going to like you. Not everybody's going to appreciate who you are and what you do. And, you know, you just have to keep on keeping on with whatever it is that, you know, you want to pursue in life.
And when did you reconcile yourself with that fact that just not everybody's going to like you? Because that's hard.
You know what? Honestly, I had to do that several years ago. Many, many years ago. Like I said, I've been entertaining since I was 15 years old. And getting into this for the first 3, 4, 5 years of your career, not really having a lot of knowledge of what drag is and so forth, you know, you deal with a lot. You still deal with a lot. Being here in Las Vegas and having, you know, had my own show for so long, you still deal with people who have jealousy towards you because maybe they want the same things that you've been able to attain, or you make more money than they do or whatever. But you know what? The bottom line is that they're not paying my bills. And, you know, everybody has their own level of success in their own mind and in their own way. So I'm not wanting to step on anybody's toes. I don't want anybody to step on my toes. You know, we all just kind of have to work together and create camaraderie and make the best out of everything.
Words to Live by Chanel. So you don't, nobody calls you Chanel in your daily life. People address you by...
No. I'm always referred to as Brian. I'm a makeup artist for a living, so I mean, I live as a full man. I have facial hair. I wear a suit and tie to work every day, and I never am out in drag unless I am having a show, so I'm not one to parade around, and I'm actually kind of a, more or less, kind of a quiet person. I tend to spend a lot of time to myself and with close friends that I have, and my close relationship that I have with my mother. So for me, you know, Chanel is nothing more than a further extension of my character that I have 2 hours out of an entire week. And that's all it is. You know, it's money, it's entertainment, and it's putting on a different face and allowing people to see a different extension of who you are.
Where do you usually work?
I have a show every Sunday night at the Gypsy Nightclub here in Las Vegas. It's actually about one block south of the Hard Rock Hotel, just basically about a mile from the Strip. And the show's at 11 o'clock every Sunday night. It's free to get in, so it's great. We have dollar drink specials. Coco Vega and myself co-host the show, and we're able to bring in entertainers both locally as well as from other states. And so it's a great show. It's about 2 hours, and we take a 15-minute intermission and do a lot of character and comedy and sex and productions and just all kinds of different things. And it's kind of neat being at the entertainment capital here, because so many people are always in Las Vegas that we entertain everybody everywhere. So it's fun.
So I guess when you were a teenager, that's when you started doing this, right?
Yeah, I was about 15 years old, and it was just a Halloween gig that kind of came about, and a bunch of friends were going out to L.A., and they all wanted to dress in drag, and I thought, well, why not? And I realized that I looked pretty good, and I've always been very artistic. I can draw and paint and do all of those things, and makeup was always something that just kind of came easy to me, and so I realized that I could make a little money doing it, and so I would go to school, and then I would do shows on the side, and it just kind of went from there, and then I was able to actually make a living out of it. So, yeah. But I never grew up as a child wanting to wear women's clothing or anything. I mean, it was never, ever anything like that to me. It was more or less just about, oh, well, this is just kind of something fun to do. Because I grew up as an overweight child, and I was that quiet, shy kid who sat in the back of the class and really had no friends or anything like that. And then in high school, I took a speech and debate class, and it kind of brought me out of my shell. And when it brought me out of my shell, I realized that I actually, you know, I had a voice, and I could use it, and I figured that if I was able to incorporate that into entertainment, then I could, you know, do something with it, and so that's what I was able to do, and 15 years later, here I am.
Yeah. What do you think of how they edited you on the show?
I have mixed feelings about how I was edited on the show. I think that, unfortunately, I was edited to look very arrogant in nature.
Uh-huh.
Not that I don't have a level of arrogance, but I think that it was misinterpreted for professionalism. Like I said, having done this for so many years and having worked with so many people and so many venues doing so many different things, you know, you kind of learn that if you've been able to make a living at this, you're obviously pretty good at what you do. And then when you go on the show, it's a whole other ballpark. There was a lot that went on that wasn't edited that, you know, me helping girls with their makeup or, you know, zipping girls up in their dresses or things like that that weren't shown. And unfortunately, having been in drag for so many hours every day filming, they caught those moments of being tired or weak or feeling frustrated. And so that's what they were showing me as. And it's kind of unfortunate to me because I'm actually a very nice person. I'm a very chill person. And I just like to be very professional in the things that I do. And I believe that, you know, you have to hold people accountable for their actions and give praise where praise is due. And there were a few competitions that I definitely feel that I should have won, and I didn't. And it became very, very frustrating to me, and it would make me question and say, well, then, what do you expect of me, or what is it that you want, or what am I doing wrong? You know, they had made the comment that I hadn't shown any vulnerability, but yet I did show vulnerability. And when the comment was made that, well, we don't feel like we're seeing the real you, well, this is real. These are the costumes that I wear. This is the personality that I have. And, you know, unfortunately, it just wasn't quite what they were looking for. So.
Yeah. Well, you took that executive, what was it, the executive business look or something?
Uh-huh.
That was insane. I mean, that was just flawless.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. What did they do with that?
No, I didn't win a single challenge the entire time I was on the show.
Who won
not
that?
Any challenge, nothing. There was not one single challenge that I won, ever, anything.
Do you remember who won? Because I can't remember right now. Who won that challenge?
BB. Yeah, BB won that one.
Right.
You know, yeah. It is what it is, so.
Yeah.
You know, you win some, you lose some, but I didn't win any, so it is what it is.
Yeah, well, I guess just getting on there was winning enough. You got the exposure, and I guess that's the way you could look at it. I mean, you must have been picked over probably hundreds.
There were several thousand applicants, yeah.
Wow.
Thousands upon thousands of people that submitted packets. And so, yeah, that was definitely an award-winning feeling in itself. And, you know, the show really did make history. Like I said, being able to bring drag kind of back into the mainstream. And I think of anything else, being able to showcase for a general audience that drag queens or female impersonators are not freaks. It's not about wanting to parade around in women's clothing and get our sexual kicks, whatever. You know, there's a real art form behind it. And I think that, you know, thank God to the Logo Network and for RuPaul being able to showcase that and to be able to bring professionalism to television and, you know, to be able to show people that this is something that needs to be appreciated and that drag has been around for hundreds of years. know, in Shakespeare, so many of the female roles back then were played by men. I mean, you know, it's something that I think has been overlooked and has been taken very lightly. And for those of us that do it for a living or that truly appreciate the art form of what is drag, I think that it really was able to show people what we do and how we do it, from the makeup to the costuming and presentation and runway walking and all of those different things. So, yeah, it was quite an experience.
Yeah. And, you know, what I really enjoy about the show is that there isn't a focus on being gay, that, you know, that's just totally not even an issue on the show at all.
Yeah.
It's just, you know,
Well, that's just it, because, you know, so many of the people, for example, that come to my show, you know, it's not all a gay audience. Drag is not about being gay. You know, drag is taking and creating a further extension of a feminine or a girl persona, per se. And so it's not a gay or straight issue. Look at La Cage of the Riviera was there for almost 25 years, and 99.5% of the audiences were straight every single night. So,
it's
not entertainment in general.
Yeah, why do you think drag brings in such a huge straight audience?
Because I think that a straight audience can be really amazed at the fact that, you know, you can take an everyday man and turn him into a woman and be able to personify a woman. I mean, and that's, I think that it just is kind of a gag factor to a lot of straight audiences, is that they want to see, well, is, you know, can they really pull it off? Or are they going to fumble on stage? Or how realistic can they really make it look?
Right. That transformation is astonishing. But, you know, it's not as interesting when women start doing that opposite drag.
There have been shows like Finocchio's in San Francisco, and there have been drag king shows across the state, but for some reason I just don't think that there's as much a draw there for the female to male transformation. And I think it's because from a male to female transition, it's so much larger than life. It's colorful, it's spectacular, it's in your face. And I think that people in general are attracted to sexuality. They're attracted to vivid colors, to sparkle, to shine, and things like that. And for some reason, when a man transitions into a woman, the art of, you know, clothing and makeup is so much more enticing to the eye than to see a beautiful woman turn into a man with facial hair and things like that. I mean, if you think about it, women, you know, the variety that women have with clothing and things like that is, you know, I think a lot more spectacular than what, you know, men really have to offer to wear. So, yeah.
Sure. But then, so there's a good tip for drag kings is drag to kings. Maybe make it more colorful.
I think so. I mean, a lot of the drag kings that I've known do a lot of, like, country numbers, or they will impersonate, you know, Garth Brooks, or, you know, a lot of the male personas. I think that, like, if I saw a woman doing, like, a Michael Jackson, or a Prince, or, you know, characters that are more colorful, I think that it's a little more visually appealing to the eye. But, you know, again, it depends on where you live, too. I mean, you know, a lot of people who live in, say, you know, your southern states or whatever, they're really attracted to a lot of those country artists, which is great, but it's just not quite so visually impactful on stage, unless they're like a dead ringer lookalike for that character or what have you. So.
Right, that's a really good tip.
It's in the eye of the beholder. I mean, it, you know, it is what it is. I just think that for men, you know, so much of drag has also been based on character illusion. And when you can see a man turn into Judy Garland or Barbara Streisand or Marilyn Monroe or Madonna or whatever, I mean, there's a gag factor. It's like, wow, you know, he really looks like her, or wow, that costume really looks like what she wore or whatever. And so I think that it just kind of becomes, you know, it's visually appealing to people to see something kind of a little more over the top.
How do you get your skin to be so flawless? What do you do?
You know, to be honest with you, I am extremely, extremely hairy. I shave almost every single day in the shower, and I just keep a lot of moisturizer on, and then I use a body bronzer. But if I didn't shave, I would probably have 2-inch arm hair. So it's all about the makeup artistry behind it and just keeping it soft and silky and smooth.
Is it a little bit of makeup, too, that gives the appearance?
I don't put makeup on my body. I just put makeup on my chest. But I use a body bronzer on my body a lot of times if I'm doing something where I'm showing a lot of my skin. But fortunately, I have good skin, and when I shave, it is extremely smooth. But if I didn't shave, I would be extremely hairy. So,
all right. So then, give us the secret. Which moisturizer are you using?
You know, I honestly, because I work for Chanel, I use all of Chanel's Sublimage skincare.
Okay.
Their body products and face, which is, you know, it's very expensive, but it's amazing. It's extremely hydrating to the skin. I'm a dryer-based skin, so it keeps my skin very smooth, very hydrated, and very silky. I use the Lab Series shaving cream, which has benzotane in it, which has a numbing agent, basically, so that when I'm shaving, it doesn't rip my skin out. It makes my skin feel a lot softer on my face. Oddly enough, though, when I shave my body, I don't use any shaving cream or anything. I use a regular razor and water on my skin. My hair won't come out because it's so coarse if I use anything on my body. So I just let the water hit my skin and use the razor and just shave straight up.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I get out of the shower, and then I immediately put my moisturizer on. A lot of guys who do drag will tend to get hair bumps and things like that, and I did as well, but I have found that the more you shave, your body becomes used to it, your hair follicle changes, and essentially those hair bumps kind of just end up going away. So you have to keep shaving every single day. Even if you have the hair bumps, just keep shaving, and eventually it will go away. But the Lab Series shaving cream is pretty amazing. That benzocaine will really numb the skin. I have full facial hair whenever I'm not in drag, and my facial hair is extremely coarse and very black. And so a lot of times if I don't use something with benzocaine in it, it will pull on my skin, and then it will, you can tend to bleed or what have you when you shave. But I just use the Gillette Fusion, the vibrating shaver, and I have to shave in the shower with extremely hot water, and then I put a very thin layer of the shaving cream on, and then I shave, and then I get an extremely close shave. Yeah,
I love it. And so Chanel has contributed to that smooth skin as well.
Yeah.
And so that's where you got your name, I'm assuming?
No, oddly enough, my first cat, when I was, we had had two Siamese cats, and my mother had named one of them Chanel and the other one Ciara, and it was just a name that I grew up with, and then I got a job with Chanel afterwards, so it came before I actually worked with Chanel. It just oddly enough kind of happened, and that's why I spell it differently.
So what's next for you? You're going to Minneapolis tonight?
Yep, I go to Minneapolis tonight. I'm doing a Lacage show at a casino out there with Frank Marino and some of the other entertainers from Lacage. And then I've got several different tour dates that I'm doing in different cities over the next few months, and I'm getting bookings and schedulings coming in. So I'm just kind of, I'm looking, you know, out there for nightclubs or people that are contacting me who want me to come and work with them in their cities or for different prides or what have you. And doing my day job and just, you know, kind of living life.
Sure. So you're heading over to New York anytime soon?
You know, there's a couple of people that have contacted me about coming out there, but nothing has been confirmed yet. Just a couple of clubs that have talked to me, but I'm waiting to kind of see what happens.
Okay. Where do you update? On your MySpace, or do you have a website?
My MySpace is typically my main focus, where I get most of my interaction with people. On my main profile is where I'm going to be posting all of the different tour dates of where I'm going to be going. Like, I'm going to be going to New Mexico in June. I'm going to be in Seattle for Gay Pride out there for 5 days. I'm going to North Carolina. I'm working on Arizona. I'm going to be going and doing the Dream Girl show in Los Angeles out there. So I'm just working on a few different things right now. I have a website that is still in the process of being worked on, which is chanel.net, and people can actually log on there and they can send emails directly to me. I do try to make it a point if someone emails me either on my MySpace or on my website to directly get back with them, and I do it myself. I don't have anybody else, but I like to be very, you know, personal with everybody. It may take me a couple days, but I do get around to it. So, if anybody, you know, wants to get in contact with me, either they can do it through my MySpace or through Chanel.net. There's also a fan page for me where people can post different photos and things like that. It's kind of a forum, and that's www.chanellicious.proboards.com.
How do you spell that? You spell it differently, right?
I'm sorry?
You spell it differently, right?
Chanel is, yeah, S-H-A-N-N-E-L.
Right, okay. And what's your MySpace address?
It's www.myspace/ChanelLV for Las Vegas. So S-H-A-N-N-E-L-L-V.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to be doing, I'm putting together a how to makeup video. I've had so many emails of people asking me questions about how I do my makeup, and so I'm producing my own makeup video that I will be selling on my website as well as on my MySpace, and it will incorporate drag makeup as well as real girl makeup, just some tips and techniques and things like that of how to do certain looks and so forth.
That's brilliant.
I'll be selling that.
That's brilliant. What's the difference between drag makeup and regular girl makeup?
There is a significant difference between drag makeup and real girl makeup. I mean, that's such an open-ended question. Drag makeup incorporates, you know, more foundations, more powders, a lot more contouring, a lot more highlighting. I mean, typically, women have thinner noses and larger lips and higher peaked eyebrows. Men typically have a lower arched eyebrow, a wider nose, and a smaller lip. So, I mean, if anything, in creating a more feminine illusion for a man, you need to make your nose as thin as possible, your lips as full as possible, and have as much peak in your eyebrow. That will thin out your face and give you a more feminine look to the face. So that's kind of one technique there. You know, incorporating cheekbones. You know, a lot of men don't have a real defining cheekbone, and they have a harder jawline. So you want to soften your jawline and create a more of a feminine cheekbone. That picks up the face, it will thin out the face, and it will give you a more soft, feminine look all over. So those are some of the different things that I'll be discussing in my video, as to kind of how to take a man and turn a male face into a more feminine illusion, because that's really what the art form is being able to transfer from one to the other, take your makeup off and still be able to live as a man, have your eyebrows, you know, keep your eyebrows, show you how to seal over your eyebrows so you can put your eyebrows any way you want on your face, things like that, so...
Right. Okay, so but it's not a different brand of makeup or anything?
Well, it is. I mean, there are certain brands of makeup that I use.
That are strictly for drag?
No, not specifically for drag, but just more theatrical-based makeups and things like that. You know, a man cannot wear a liquid foundation. I don't care how little amount of facial hair he may have. You know, you need to wear more of a pancake or a stick foundation to give yourself a more flawless, smoother look to the skin. Different types of powders, more theatrical, highly pigmented shadows, things like that. You know, definitely have to have eyelashes on. I mean, a guy that does drag and doesn't wear eyelashes, it doesn't look right, you know. So, I mean, things like that.
Yeah, I can't imagine no eyelashes.
Yeah, no, got to have the eyelashes on.
That wouldn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to me. I'm really...
I appreciate the opportunity to get my voice out there. And hopefully, you know, like I say, you know, it gives people kind of a better or a different understanding of what we do and what I am. And, you know, I've been so blessed to have had the opportunity to work with such great people and to, you know, continue on in my career.
Well, you've been really wonderful and you've been very generous with your time. And I really appreciate it. And I hope that wherever you go, it's... where you want to be, and I'm sure you're going to get
there.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. Definitely. We'll stay in contact, and you've got me on MySpace, so if you ever have any questions or what have you, let me know.
Yes, most definitely. I will not be a stranger.
All right, sounds good.
Chanel, thanks so much.
Absolutely. We'll have a wonderful evening.
Okay, honey, take care.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye. So, thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope that you enjoyed particularly the beauty tips, because I did, because I could use all the help that I can get. And Chanel, Brian, you're always Chanel to me. Chanel performs at the Gypsy Nightclub on Sunday nights in Las Vegas. And if you wanted to reach her for bookings or any other reason, you can get her on chanel.net. That's S-H-A-N-L-E-L.net. So yeah, so I'd like to thank Brian very much, Chanel, so much for being on this program. And I will continue to call her Chanel. Sorry. And I'm very grateful. So we will come at you again very soon. And RuPaul's Drag Race is on Monday nights at 10 p.m. on the Logo channel, but I watch it online. I just Google RuPaul's Drag Race, and whichever site comes up first is the one that I click on, and then I end up on there. And I think it's on the Logo website itself, but it takes you directly there. You don't have to go surfing around the website. Just Google RuPaul's Drag Race, and you're able to watch it right online, which is where I watch it, because I only turn on the TV when I need a nap. So, yeah. So, all right. We will be coming at you again very soon. Talk to you later. Just bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
runway, oh. Another payday, oh. Cover of magazine. And when they see me, oh. They wanna be me, oh. I am the fantasy.
Cover girl, put the bass in your walk. Head to toe, let your whole body talk. Cover girl, put the bass in your walk. Head to toe, let your whole body talk.
Talk.